The psalmist declares, "Be strong and let your heart take courage, all of you who wait for the Lord." Amen. Please be seated. We're going to sing our first hymn now. There is a green hill far away. Please be seated. Good morning, everyone. My name is Justin, and I'm one of the ministers here at Scots Church. And it's my very great pleasure to welcome you to our 11 a.m. service in person and online. For those who are new, I want to encourage you to fill out the introduction card so we get to know who you are and you get to know who we are and what we do. Please join us for refreshments in the mezzanine level of the Westpac building after the service. A reminder that we'll be celebrating communion today in the service, and I want to invite you to our Scots City service that happens over in the Assembly Hall at 5 p.m. this afternoon. You'll also see in your order of services a leaflet, a flyer, detailing what's happening at Scots during December. Let's continue our worship by singing Ye Servants of God.
Please be seated. Let us pray. Lord God Almighty, your word in Isaiah 9, verse 2 states, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned." Gracious Advent, God, as we celebrate the first Sunday of Advent, a season of hopeful waiting and anticipation, empower us with the hope found in your Son, Jesus, and help us embrace this time with great expectation, allowing your light to illuminate our hearts, our homes, and the world. May those living in darkness come to see the dawn of your bright light. Guide us to let your love overcome despair and hatred, inspiring us to pursue a more fulfilling life rooted in you, the source of our hope. As we await the arrival of your Son, our Lord, instill in us a sense of vigilance and faithfulness. And when Christ comes, may he find us actively engaged in his service and joyfully lifting our voices in praise. Through Jesus, our Lord, taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you, choir. Kids and teens can now go to Kids Church. Your leaders are waiting for you near the coffee machine. But let's sing our offertory hymn, O God of Bethel.
Oh.
Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we joyfully praise and thank you for the beautiful Advent season. This special time allows us to prepare our hearts and engage in spiritual reflection as we celebrate the incredible gift of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, at Christmas. Gracious God, we worship you as the Almighty God who was and is to come. Please help us to be truly ready, worthy to embrace the joy of Christmas when you came among us in the person of Jesus, bringing love, mercy, and forgiveness to the world. Loving God, as we gather for Holy Communion today, we are grateful for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, and the promise of eternal life through his life, death, and resurrection. May your Holy Spirit purify and fill our hearts with your truth, so we may love you sincerely and truthfully. Loving God, we ask for your blessings and guidance for the Scots ministry team, which includes our elders, church leaders, our music ministry director, Scots choir members, your organist, admin staff, and volunteers. We recognize and value the support their families provide. We are so grateful and thankful. We pray for renewed strength and joy for the Scots and Scots City communities and our constituents as they walk together in love and service. We pray for your blessings for Phil and Louis Campbell, Arthur and M.M. Kiever, who are currently on leave. May they feel your presence, protection, and peace, and may they return from their time away feeling refreshed and energized. Holy Spirit of God, guide us to be open-hearted and focused as we listen to your word and Reverend Justin Ang's sermon this morning, that you would grant Justin your wisdom, courage, and clarity as he delivers your message this morning. Bless his wife, Rachel, as she fully supports him. Lord God, give us insight and understanding of your word and empower us to act upon it, we pray. Lord Jesus, we ask for comfort and healing for those in our church community who are ill, including Arlene Marshall, Beverly Abilene, David and Wendy Nielsen, Pauline Castle, and Mirella Keast, as well as our seniors at home or in care facilities. We are grateful for the strength you've given to them, and we pray for their speedy and complete recovery. We also pray for Loris Munane as she prepares for surgery this Thursday. May she feel your presence and strength and experience a swift recovery. God of all nations, we pray for all those suffering from war. We continue to pray that love, justice, understanding, forgiveness, and reconciliation will be the foundation for Ukraine, Russia, Myanmar, Africa, and the Middle East, so everyone can live freely and with dignity together. That you would help Christians endure the hardships of war, that you would sustain them with their faith and hope in Christ, our living hope. And now, loving God, accept our free will offerings and tithes, and those who give electronically, grant that with our gifts we may also offer a ready mind and a willing spirit, show forth in our lives the truth of the gospel. And we ask all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Our first reading is from 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 12 to 16. When your days are fulfilled, and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring after you, who shall come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. When he commits iniquity, I will discipline him with the rod of men, with the stripes of the Son of Men, but my steadfast love will not depart from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away from before you. And your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever. Our second reading is from Matthew chapter 1, verses 1 to 17. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac, and Isaac the father of Jacob, and Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers, and Judah the father of Perez and Zerah of Tamar, and Perez the father of Hezron, and Hezron the father of Ram, and Ram the father of Amminadab, and Amminadab the father of Nashon, and Nashon the father of Salmon, and Salmon the father of Boaz by Rahab, and Boaz the father of Obed by Ruth, and Obed the father of Jesse, and Jesse the father of David, the king. And David was the father of Solomon by the wife of Uriah, and Solomon the father of Rehoboam, and Rehoboam the father of Abijah, and Abijah the father of Asaph, and Asaph the father of Jehoshaphat, and Jehoshaphat the father of Joram, and Joram the father of Uzziah, and Uzziah the father of Jotham, and Jotham the father of Ahaz, and Ahaz the father of Hezekiah, and Hezekiah the father of Manasseh, and Manasseh the father of Amos, and Amos the father of Josiah, and Josiah the father of Jeconiah, and his brothers at the time of the deportation of Babylon. And after the deportation of Babylon, Jeconiah and the father of Shealtiel, and Shealtiel the father of Zerubbabel, and Zerubbabel the father of Abud, and Abud the father of Eliakim, and Eliakim the father of Azor, and Azor the father of Zadok, and Zadok the father of Achim, and Achim the father of Elud, and Elud the father of Eleazar, and Eleazar the father of Manasseh, and Mathan the father of Jacob, and Jacob the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom Jesus was born, who is called Christ. So all the generations from Abraham to David were 14 generations, and from David to the deportation of Babylon, 14 generations, and from the deportation to Babylon to the Christ, 14 generations. May so endeth the reading. Thanks be to God from this reading from his holy word.
Thank you, Craig. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we give you great thanks for your word. And as we draw near to Christmas, remind us of how great your Son is, Jesus Christ, and help us to give thanks for him. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're drawing close to Christmas. In fact, there's 24 sleeps until Christmas, not that I'm counting. And it's probably a time for many of us to do gift shopping. I don't know about you, but I'm not a very good gift giver. And I don't know, but Rachel is much better than me. But I'm sure you can think about some great gifts that you've been given and some great gifts that you have received. I reckon it's the anticipation of what you're opening. I just love receiving gifts, not that I'm hinting, by the way. When you don't know what you're going to receive, and it's unexpected, have they given me a thoughtful gift? Is it something that I've always wanted? Or is it something that I'm going to have to re-gift to someone else? Is it a gift that I've already received? You know, Christmas is filled with anticipation and the unexpected. But I suspect Christmas is unexpected in ways other than gifts, things that you don't expect to occur. I'm sure there are stories that you can tell about that Christmas. Where you laugh, or where you cry, when things didn't go the way that you anticipated. We know Christmas comes around every single year, but Christmas, each Christmas is different, isn't it? Christmas is that time when the unexpected occurs. Today we're starting an Advent series in Matthew. It's an opportunity for us to draw near to Jesus as Christmas draws near to us. And the good news is that this passage, this genealogy, speaks to us about the unexpected. And it encourages us to trust in our God who is faithful. To trust in God who is faithful. And Matthew shows us three ways in which God is faithful to us. Three ways. So let's look at this genealogy. Maybe when you go through genealogies, your mind draws a blank. Maybe some of you love genealogies. You love looking at family history. Others may not find family history as interesting, although you may find it interesting if it's your own. But this genealogy is so important because it speaks to us. And Matthew wants us to see that God is faithful because he gives us new beginnings. New beginnings. Let's look at the first verse. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Now, Matthew uses the word genealogy, but in the Greek, it is called Genesis. Genesis. And Matthew is being intentional right now. He's alluding to the Old Testament book of Genesis. A lot of Matthew's original audience were Jewish, and they would have heard the comparison. Matthew is saying that this is a new beginning to what has gone on from before, a new beginning to what has happened in the Old Testament. There's Abraham. God speaks to Abraham. Sorry, because the Old Testament, we see a pattern of disappointment where humanity disappoints. There's Abraham. God speaks to Abraham. I will make you a great nation, Abraham. And yet Abraham disappoints. He and Sarah take matters into their own hands, don't they? There's the nation of Israel. God saves Israel out of Egypt, and yet the people of Israel begin to grumble and they disappoint. They're left to wander the wilderness for 40 years because of their disobedience. There's King David. God gives the kingdom to David, and yet David disappoints. He commits adultery, he commits murder. For humanity, there's a theme of disappointment, isn't there? It's a theme that we might see in our own lives as well. We may have dreams to get married, dreams perhaps to buy a job, get a job, buy a house, have children, grandchildren. I'm sure that as you reflect on your lives, there are disappointments that come to mind. And our disappointments can grow. We grow disillusioned, we grow frustrated, and we lose hope. We think, what's the point? And Matthew says, there's a new beginning. There's a new hope. Don't give up. Don't look at your circumstances, but look to me. Look to God. Because God remains faithful to his people. This genealogy wants to remind us that there is hope for us. Even when life disappoints, there is hope because God is faithful to you. And we see that in God sending his one and only Son into this world. Christmas is a reminder that even though we may be frustrated, we may feel disappointed, we may be confronted with the unexpected, God remains faithful to you and to me. I love what Isaac Watts writes in Joy to the World. He writes this: no more let sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found. As we prepare for Christmas, it's a reminder that we have new beginnings. There is hope, the gift of God's grace, the reversal of the curse in your life and in my life, but also the whole world. But Matthew goes further, because Matthew shows us God's faithfulness, because God is greater than our circumstances. He is greater than your circumstances. Let me show you. When you look at the genealogy, it's pretty consistent, isn't it? Abraham was the father of Isaac. Isaac was the father of Jacob. Father and son. And yet, do you notice that Matthew breaks the pattern? He adds other characters. Have a look at the screen or your order of services. Look at verse 3. Judah, the father of Perez and Zerah by Tamar. Then it goes back to the pattern. Father and son. Verse 5. Salmon, the father of Boaz by Rahab. Boaz, the father of Obed by Ruth. Verse 6, David, the father of Solomon by the wife of Uriah. And then verse 16, Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary. Why does Matthew highlight these characters? Why does Matthew highlight Judah and Salmon and Boaz and David and Joseph? I'll tell you why. Is to show that God is greater than our circumstances. For Judah, Salmon, Boaz, and David, and Joseph, they didn't plan to become fathers. They didn't plan their heirs. Look at Judah. Think of Judah. He didn't intend to have children by Tamar. He acted arrogantly and didn't do what was right according to God's law. And yet Tamar was doing the right thing, and she was honored for that. And God was greater than Judah. Think about David. He didn't intend to have a child by Uriah's wife, Bathsheba. He acted arrogantly, taking what was not his, committing adultery, murdering Uriah. Judah and David aren't excused for their bad behavior, and yet this genealogy shows that God is greater and bigger than them. By God's grace, he used these circumstances, these situations, to continue the family line. And he showed himself greater than these men who acted badly. God was able to use these situations, to use these men's failings, despite their failings, to bring about the Savior of the world. It shows that God can use even messed up situations that we find ourselves in and transform them to be part of his plans and his purposes. Maybe you know a man named Augustine, born 354 AD, one of the greatest theologians the world has ever known. But before his conversion, let's just say that he lived a deeply flawed life. He lived a deeply hedonistic life, and yet God spoke to him through a tiny child who was speaking in the garden next door, saying, "Take up and read. Take up and read. Read the scriptures." And it was through the scriptures that he was converted, a man that was so far from God, and yet he was saved, used by the Lord. We'll take Paul, who considers himself the chief of sinners, and yet forgiven and used for God's purposes. Maybe you feel that God couldn't possibly use you, that you have such a dark history. How can God possibly love me, you say? And yet God extends his grace to all. Perhaps we find ourselves in less than perfect situations, and we ask ourselves, how can God possibly get me out of this situation, out of this mess? And this genealogy shows that God is greater than any human being, that his love for his people cannot be overcome, that his grace is bigger than we can ever imagine, overcoming failures. That's David and Judah. But look at those in the genealogy who are considered righteous, like Ruth and Boaz and Rahab and Joseph. Take the woman Ruth. Ruth is a Moabite, an outsider, and she marries an Israelite, but her husband dies, and she's left without a family. She's an outsider to the people of God. And yet she clings to her mother-in-law, Naomi. She clings to God, and she is included as part of God's plan to save the world. She ends up being the great-grandmother of King David. And take Boaz, who marries Ruth. He didn't intend to have a child of his own by Ruth. He was redeeming Ruth for Ruth's dead husband's sake, Mahlon. He didn't expect to have children of his own, because when you redeem someone, their children become someone else's. And yet look at the family line. It is not Ruth's dead husband, Mahlon, who's mentioned. It is Boaz. Rahab was also an outsider, but she is considered righteous, mentioned in this family line. And Joseph, like Boaz, raises a child that is not his own, and yet Joseph is mentioned. What's the point? Matthew is showing us that God's grace is greater than we can ever imagine. That God's love is deeper and wider and higher for you and me than we can ever imagine. That neither height nor depth, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come will ever separate you or me from God's love. And God is faithful, brothers and sisters, and he is greater than our circumstances. Final point. That's not all, because Matthew shows us at the end of this genealogy God's faithfulness. because of his perfect timing. His perfect timing. Have a look with me. Verse 17. So all the generations from Abraham to David were 14 generations. And from David to the deportation to Babylon, 14 generations. And from the deportation to Babylon to the Christ, 14 generations. You know, three lots of 14 generations. 14 generations between Abraham and David, 14 between David and the exile, and 14 between Babylon and Christ. You know, many commentators have suggested that the number 14 is really important, because the number 14 shows that Jesus' birth is not random. Jesus' birth is not sudden, but Jesus' birth is perfectly timed. It's been timed, perfectly timed from the very beginning. That God had a plan from the very beginning, and is based on God's timing and not our own. Sometimes we want to see God work according to our timing. We want things now. And he says, not yet. Not yet. Because I have the big picture. Sometimes Rachel and I like to do these jigsaw puzzles, these thousand-piece jigsaw puzzles. One Christmas, my brother and his wife bought us this 300-piece jigsaw puzzle. And we thought, oh, that's not too bad, it's only 300. Except it's 299 cats and one dog making up 300 pieces. And here's the thing, there are no corners. There are no edges, there's no picture that you can refer to. You know the ones that you normally get to, they get the big picture? There's no big picture. We have not solved that puzzle to this very day. Here's a picture of what it's supposed to look like. You know, it's not fun not knowing the big picture, is it? And sometimes it's hard for us as human beings to not know the big picture. I want to know where we're going in this world. I want to know what happens in the next year, or the next 5, or the next 10 years with world events. It's a scary time. But sometimes it's not for us to know. For us, we are to learn to trust in God's faithfulness, even when we don't know where we're going. Because 1,000 years is like a day for the Lord, and a day is like 1,000 years, isn't it? We may not know, we may not get to see how God is working in our lifetime, only when we get to see him face to face. But what Matthew is reminding us in this genealogy is that God cares. God knows the very big picture from the very beginning. He knows, he's known it from Abraham, through the generations, through David, through to Jesus. And he knows it to even us and to the future generations. He is faithful. So let me ask as we finish, will you learn to trust God's faithfulness today? Will you learn to trust God's faithfulness this Christmas, holding on to Jesus this Christmas, even when your life is unexpected? Will you hope in new beginnings? Will you love the one who is greater than our circumstances? And will you trust in his perfect timing? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you great thanks. As we draw near to Christmas, we are reminded of your great love and faithfulness to your people through your Son, Jesus. You have perfect timing. You are greater than our circumstances, and you give us a new hope. Help us not to look to our circumstances, but to you, O Lord, for you are mighty and you are trustworthy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. On behalf of the elders of this church, I say to you, if you love Jesus, then this table is set for you, and you are welcome at it. Listen to the words of the institution of the Holy Communion of our Lord Jesus Christ as they are recorded by Paul the Apostle. The Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you drink of this cup and eat of this bread, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Brothers and sisters, we remember Jesus and what he did in his death on the cross, because he did it for us, that God might be our God and that we might be his people. What a great reminder. For a moment, I just want you to turn around to the people around you. As you take part in the Lord's Supper, be reminded that we take it as a family. We take it as a family, as God as our Father, and we and one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. I now invite you to stand as we say the Apostles' Creed together. Okay. Do you want to, if you want the Apostles' Creed, so you already know it off the top of your head. Awesome. Please join me. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we gather as your adopted children to remember once more what you have granted us through your gift of faith and the willing sacrifice of God the Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. You have granted us redemption. You have conquered death on our behalf, and you have adopted us into the family of God. Bless these gifts of bread and juice to us, Father God, and in the power of your Holy Spirit, transport us for a few brief moments to commune together at the wedding feast of the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And in his precious name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. When you receive the bread and the grape juice, please wait so that we can all eat and drink together as one body, the body of Christ, in harmony and fellowship with each other. If you prefer not to participate, that's fine. Just let the trays pass you by. Jesus says, "This is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Eat and remember." In the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Drink and remember. Christ has died, Christ has risen, and Christ will come again. The peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Thank you. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this sacrament and all that it signifies. May our participation in it enliven our faith, draw us closer to you, and strengthen our bonds of love with each other as a people of yours. Give us the wisdom, the courage, the stamina, and the compassion to follow faithfully in our Saviour's footsteps all the days of our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing our hymn of response, "Fight the Good Fight."
Thank you. thank you to you for joining us. Thanks to the elders for serving, for our choir, for Douglas, and also for Jennifer and Alex, who will be playing our postlude. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.